Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. So Rick Emerson showing Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Okay, just so I can stem the flow of who the hell is this, this is the Cottonmouth Kings. Because every time I play these bits, somebody goes, who is that guy you played 3 days ago at 144? Not ever know. This is the Cottonmouth Kings. The Rick Emerson Show, we got more coming up this hour. You want to be there?
Oh, here comes Fatty with a sack of sh**. Here comes Fatty with a sack of sh**. Here comes Fatty with his sack of sh**, and all them stinking reindeer. Well, I believe in Santa Claus, yeah, I believe that he's a prick. And though he comes but once a year, it's enough to make me sick. Him and his Christmas spirit are really a lot of bunk. I'll have to bust my ass for another year just to pay for all this junk. Here comes Fatty with his sack of sh**. Here comes Fatty with his sack of sh**. Here comes Fatty with his sack of sh**, and all them stinking reindeer. Well, I believe in Santa, though he's got me in a mess. 'Cause I'm over the limit on my master charging my Visa and American Express. Well, I'm sweating and grieving about this money mess I'm in. He'll be up there sitting on his big fat ass until Christmas comes again. Oh, here comes Fatty with his sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with his sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with his sack of shit. And all them stinking reindeer. Oh, here comes Fatty with his ho ho ho. And there my money all go go goes. I'd like to punch him in his big red nose, and he wish he never came here. Here comes Fatty with his sack of shit.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. All right, coming up later on this hour, we got Jolie from the front desk with another edition of How Chicks Think. Also, Jolie's top five musical artists of all time. Office Confidential coming up this hour as well. And I got this question about The Godfather that we'll get through here. Interesting. Now, we got a supplementary top five, by the way, which is predicated on the spoiler about Star Trek that I gave out yesterday, which I didn't think was that big of a deal, but which I continue to... Like, here's a random email, just pulled from the pile. Rick, you don't just suck, as Sarah said. You effing suck. Some Star Trek fans actually have a life, although listening to your show may prove otherwise. To hell with you, or rather, to hell with F Matt, F you. F you with everything Matt has ever been effed with. Twice. More violently, without sufficient lubrication. 1-800-727-5955 or 503. No, it's not even a guy, it's a woman.
That sounds like there was a guy who was saying that his girlfriend was mad yesterday. It might be him.
Oh, please. Everybody's got some girlfriend that's mad about something or other. It's just part of the natural order of things. You know what I mean? All right. Here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by AT&T Broadband. Travel the world of facts on the web a whole lot faster with AT&T Broadband Internet. It's so easy to make a reservation at attbroadband.com. Uh-oh. The Portland fire may be finally extinguished. Paul Allen and the Trailblazers expected to make a decision on the future sometime next week. The Blazer organization has not set a deadline for deciding whether or not to decline to take over ownership. The fire has been in limbo as an organization like many women's basketball teams. Last week, the fire and Blazers officials said they're seeking outside ownership, maybe like Boring or Tualatin. Anyone want to buy the Portland Fire? Step up now.
If you've got like $15.
Yeah. Now, see, the U.S. Appeals Court has ruled that the family of a Tacoma man may sue Austria in U.S. court because Nazis stole all their paintings back in 1939. They're reportedly worth $150 million. The Austrian government says they were willed to the country by, well, the thieves themselves. Bend police say a downed tree from a recent storm helped corral two men driving an alleged stolen vehicle. The Jeep Cherokee was stolen from outside a Bend home Sunday night. The home was burglarized on Thanksgiving, and the keys to the vehicle had been stolen. The owner of the Cherokee, yes.
This isn't the same tree to kill those two people in the trailer, who, by the way, we found out were not John and Christina.
Right, these are old people.
Yeah, we found out it was, yeah, it was some elderly folks that were killed by the falling tree.
Well, this is another falling Bend tree.
All right.
So anyway, the Cherokee was spotted when it was driven by the two men yesterday. A police officer and his dog followed it for several blocks. The driver was blocked by a tree that just fell across the street. The two men in the vehicle ran, but they were found hiding inside a house.
How far is there to chase somebody in Bend? The town's like three square blocks. Where is it you could possibly go?
It's very sad.
Hey, did anybody, only interrupt for a second, anybody watch the Trent Lott thing on BET last night?
I don't have that.
I haven't found anybody. No. What do you mean you don't have? Oh, you don't have cable.
Never saw it.
You don't have cable, do you?
No, I got one rabbit ear.
How is it that you have a 65,000, and we can't get somebody to give you cable? You're the news guy.
I know.
Well, anyway, okay, so no one saw it. All right, so not even I saw it. It's like Gore on 60 Minutes. Like, I meant to watch it, then somehow just time frittered away from me.
Well, white people don't watch BET.
White people typically don't do anything involved with BET. They especially don't go on there and give interviews, which is why I meant to watch it. And, of course, I did not. All I saw this morning, I saw a small excerpt from it this morning that featured, they had this... I think it was CNN. They were doing this thing where they had a panel of black folks that they pulled kind of off the street to sit there and watch Trent Lott on BET. And during his speech, they were just snickering loudly and actually guffawing at several points. But I was watching it with the sound off because I was doing some of the things, so I didn't get to hear what he said that was so damn amusing. So I didn't get to see anything else about it, so I didn't know if it was just ridiculous or whatnot. So, all right.
Well, the holidays bring up special memories for everyone. Over the past several months, we spoke with several celebrities on how they remember Christmas. Jack Nicholson is our latest victim. Jack told me that once he even got cold for Christmas one time.
I'll tell you this, I'm one of the kids who actually got cold for Christmas one year. Well, I had sawed the leg off of the dining room table and then refused to cop. And they went all the way down the line with me. I opened the package and there it was, cold. Well, I cried so hard, they didn't last very long. They went in the closet and got the old sled and the baseball glove out. So I got my way in the end.
And I tell you, I sort of long to give cold to people for Christmas, but I don't even know where you get it. Like, you can get you get Kingsford briquettes, I suppose, but never the same thing.
There's got to be some place where you can buy coal.
I've always wanted actual coal, and then I'm going to find the biggest, most festive box I can possibly dig up. I'm going to wrap it with a gold leaf trimming on it and everything, and then send it off, and then it's just, you know, it's coal. I don't know why. It just holds some sort of perverse appeal for me. I can't really explain it or quantify it.
You look extremely excited right now.
I do. No, it fills me with giddy glee. Just the whole idea of sending people coal. It's like I told you about that guy I know sends out this Christmas card and it's just Santa Claus hanging from a noose. Like, for no reason. Doesn't even say anything about the inside. Happy holidays from David so-and-so. And it's just a picture of Santa Claus in a noose. I don't even know why.
Here we go. Coal wholesale. Let's see. You got to order this from California.
Yeah, I don't really need wholesale coal so much.
That's they don't sell
not really
retail.
What I'm needing. No.
That's an 800 number if you want to call.
Oh, okay.
Let's see here. Let's talk to Jerul on how he enjoys Christmas.
Well, my kids. You know, I got two kids, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. So, Christmas time is...
Sounds like he really enjoys it, doesn't it?
I didn't have Christmas when I was coming up. You know, because my family's Jehovah's Witness, so you're not allowed to celebrate.
No, you're not.
When you're Jehovah's Witness. So I didn't have a Christmas until I was about maybe like 13, 14. So that's kind of tough on a kid, you know. So, you know, now I do it up. I have the biggest Christmases, you know. I had like the Rockefeller Center tree in my house last year. For the kids, you know, I do it as big as I can.
Yeah, you want to give your child a hellish upbringing. I don't mean to bust anybody's religion, but is there anything less fun than being a Jehovah's Witness growing up? You know what I mean? Even being a Christian Scientist has got to be more fun than that. I used to live next door to these kids. I don't know, when I was about 10 or 12 years old, they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And you can't have anything good when you're a Jehovah's Witness. You can't have a tree, can't have Christmas cards or anything, can't give any presents. I'm not even sure that you can have a television when you're a Jehovah's Witness, because they have this whole thing about idolatry. So I'm not even sure that you can watch, you know, like... Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I think it's just a whole lot of no fun.
They own very nice suits,
here at
though.
JW. Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah. When they go door to door?
I don't even open the door anymore. You know what I mean? Can I just tell you this? That it's like, unless you've called ahead to my house and tell me you're coming, you knock on the door, I'm not answering. I just sit there. It's like, because there's no way really to screen who's at your door other than the peephole. But that's no good because they can see that you're there because the light darkens. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever do that? You're knocking on somebody's door, they've got the peephole, and then suddenly it shadows over and you know they're looking through. And so then it's like if I go away, they're going to know I'm home and they're just going to keep knocking and wanting to talk to me and to do things and spend time with me.
Why don't you get one of those little camera units so you got a camera out there and video
in my
monitor?
You're the crazy paranoid guy.
In my neighborhood. Yeah, I want to put something electronic of value in front of my house. Yeah, that'll last more than 5 minutes. It's the reason I don't put it, like that jack-o'-lantern that guy Mike made for. It's the reason I don't put it out front. You'd have to weld it to a car to keep it from being stolen. Because my whole apartment building just filled with little cretin hooligans. You know what I mean? It's just fat single moms and the children that they pump out. It's stupid children and the single moms who don't love them. That's who lives in my apartment building. So people knock at the door and... And here's me, and here's what the other thing I do. People knock at the door of my apartment, I suddenly turn down the TV so they don't know that I'm there. There's a bookcase between me and the kitchen blinds, and I'll kind of sidle down on the couch lower than the level of the bookcase. So because I always think that they're looking through the cracks in the blinds to see, no, he's home. Now keep knocking. No, I can see him on the couch. He's just watching porn. Keep knocking. And so I'll totally, get out of the line inside of the blind. So even if you're looking through the cracks in the blinds in my kitchen, you won't be able to tell that I'm home. So you come to my house and knock and I don't answer, I'm probably there, I'm just ignoring you.
Oh, that's like those houses on Peacock Lane, where all the Christmas lights are, all the blinds are closed, shades are drawn.
Oh, but those people are asking for trouble, though. I don't feel I have any sympathy for them. Those people are just begging to come gawk at me. That's what that is. I don't have any sympathy for them.
Oh, listen to all this misery. Showers, maybe a thunderstorm, possibly some small hail, and that's just this afternoon. Highs in the mid to upper 40s, and if that wasn't bad enough,
the same thing's going to happen tonight.
And showers tomorrow. Jim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
Oh, speaking of which begs the question, so I don't even know where the laptop is that I'm supposedly giving away. This laptop that Tim, the guys at Budget Computer, gave, that was cruelly dangled in front of me for about 13 seconds by Trey before being snatched away, that I understand we got to give away
you
somehow.
You mean our wondrous Christmas gift that we're going to give to a listener?
Well, it's not... Yeah, wondrous Christmas gift for somebody other than me. So that's... Remind me to talk about this later. We don't have time to do it now, but remind me to talk about this later. We got to figure out how we're going to give that away. Somebody suggested we do a lap dance for a laptop. We just have a succession of listeners come in and give me a lap dance, and then whoever's lap dance is the most...
Rick, I just want to let you know.
Most successful and alluring, yeah.
Our listening audience, predominantly male.
Well, no, but we have the... first of all... No,
Sarah's getting lap dances. She'll give away the laptop.
What is the deal with you wanting to see guy-on-guy
it's
action?
It's not a deal. I'm just saying...
It is a deal.
Okay.
Clearly, it is a deal.
Well, I don't know. You keep talking about it and bringing it up.
It's because you keep bringing it up and
no,
Richard Nunn keeps trying to kiss me.
You brought it up three times today.
I never brought... Only in the sense that you all, and by which I mean a lot of the women who listen to the show, are obsessed now with this idea of seeing Richard Nunn kiss somebody, and a lot of them want it to be me. And first of all, that's not going to happen. Second of all, you know, whatever your pleasure, you know, whatever you're into, I'm just saying... It's just not something I wish to dwell on. I just, aesthetically, it's just not something I want to watch. So if somebody's giving me a lap dance for the computer, they're not going to have a penis. Nobody with a penis is giving me a lap dance. It's just not going to happen. Just get that little thought out of your head right now.
With the amount of strippers that listen to our show, we probably should say no professionals either.
Well, that's the other thing. See, that's stuff in the box. That's, so to speak. That's
yeah, maybe not
no,
really
maybe
a good use
that's
of
bringing in a ringer.
There.
That's bringing in a ringer. I think we can all agree that an amateur lap dance would be better anyway. Well, this show's just gone straight into the toilet, really, just within the last 30 seconds. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. I still got to get to this Godfather thing and these spoilers. And, okay, we'll try to do an Office Confidential sometime here in the next little bit, as my mom would say. Beaverton, it's Sam. What's up?
Hey, I just, I was in a Safeway out in, well, kind of East Portland. They were selling decorative tins.
Now, where was this?
Oh, it's Safeway at 82nd and Burnside.
Excellent.
I don't know if they still got them, but they were selling little decorative Christmas decorative tins.
Tins like, of coal. So clearly, I'm not alone.
No. Little tissue-wrapped lumps of coal.
I see. All right. So it's not, I am not alone in my inherent grinchiness.
No. Right. They're out there, yeah.
All right. That's good to know. All right. Excellent. All right. Okay. So we'll get to a couple of these, and we'll roll, before the end of this segment here, we'll roll an Office Confidential. Let's see. Oh, and it's a delivery driver, Office Confidential, by the way. I'm going to be listening for that. Rick, I was watching the Godfather trilogy this weekend. It's been far too long between viewings. I have a question about something I saw in the movies. My friend, who knows damn near everything about the Godfather, couldn't answer the question, so perhaps you and your near godlike trivia knowledge about pop culture can help me out. What do the black armbands represent? Several characters wear them on their left arm above the elbow, and I can't figure out what they are. What do they mean? By the way, every time I hear the Christmas song, it gets better. All right, that's Richard. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know that I noticed that before. And it's clearly not just because somebody died, because apparently not everybody's wearing it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? The Godfather guys, some of them wearing a black armband above the elbow. Does anybody know what that means?
I think, I'm not positive on this. This may be completely wrong. But if I remember right, everybody that's wearing an armband is a made man. Nobody that's not is wearing them. So that may
that.
Be wrong. Go back and double check it.
All right,
I think that it's everybody that's made has one on.
All right, see, I'll have to go back and watch the movie now again. I'll have to go back and compare and see who's got one and who hasn't. No, that would make sense. I could almost see that, though. All right. Excellent. All right, and here's the other movie. The reason I'm doing this, you can see here just this immense pile of email. It just stacks up like so much stuff in a big pile of stuff that's stacked. Anyway, so I want to get to some of these. This is from Steve. This is regarding my Star Trek spoiler yesterday. Top five. These are his top five spoilers. This is a little supplementary top five list. These are the top five movie spoilers, according to Steve. And this is dead on. He said, Rick, since everybody screams when the movie spoilers are revealed, why not do a top five of them? Number five. And by the way, I'm not going to take any crap from people that listen to this and then I get all bent out of shape because they didn't know the ending to Gone with the Wind or something. You know what I mean? So you don't want to be... These are all pretty much classic spoilers, but if you don't want to have your... If you don't want me to be busting on your fun, just don't listen. Don't listen and then complain about it. So these are the top five movie spoilers. Number five, starting now. Commencing spoiler. Begin spoiler. Number five, Data dies. Dies dead as a doorknob. That's what he is. Number four, the girl is actually a guy. Can I just tell you this, by the way, about The Crying Game? I saw that coming so far into it. The worst thing they can ever do with these movies is to give you the tip way in advance that there's going to be a big surprise, that there's going to be a twist, there's going to be some sort of a shock. You know what I mean? I didn't even know the nature of the surprise. I wasn't even privy to the nature of the spoiler in The Crying Game. But just because they were talking about for so, you won't believe this big twist. So what happens? The minute they roll the movie, you're looking for the twist, right? As soon as I spotted that Adam's apple, the jig was up. I knew it. You know, you get these cross-dressers, they can disguise a lot of things, though, but they can't hide the Adam's apple. It's like a friend of mine went to Darcell's. This is somebody we all know, by the way, who went to Darcell's and took him forever to figure out that he was being waited on by a guy dressed as Marilyn Monroe. He just thought it was a woman dolled up as Marilyn Monroe. And I think he thought that he was going to get in that. I think he was like, dude, I thought I was totally in. And then I realized it was a dude. So look for the Adam's apple. Also the hands. Here's the other way to spot a transvestite, by the way. This is a really gay-sounding conversation, but that's the other way. You look for the hands. Anyway. Number three, Darth Vader is Luke's father. Oh, come on. That's totally number one. That should totally be number. That's not number three in the spoilers list. Number two, Bruce Willis is already dead. That's a thing I didn't spot. I never spotted that. They had me all the way up until the end there, man. I felt like such a bunny. They totally were manipulating me like I was warm silly putty in the hands of Andre the Giant there. Number one spoiler, the wizard, actually a guy behind a curtain. So there you go. Five movie spoilers. That's courtesy of Steve. There you go. All right, coming up later on this hour, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Also, Jolie's top five musical artists of all time. I'm trying to plow through as much of this as we possibly can. It's just, the email's just stacking up. I don't know what it is. It's like somebody dammed up the river, and it's just piling up in front of me. We're trying to get through it here. Not trying to make it sound like work, I'm just saying, you ought to see the ones I don't read on the air. Just the ones that are, like, written in, like, somebody obviously started drinking, very early. Like, 3:30 in the afternoon, somebody was cracking open the Jaeger and just pounding randomly on the keyboard and sending it off to me. Those are the ones I don't read. All right, here's another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential.
Yeah.
I hate this job.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms and listening to eight different bosses drone on about mission statements.
It's Rick Emerson's Office Confidential, your chance to anonymously complain about your boss, coworkers, or place of business. This comes to us from a delivery driver. Dear Office Confidential, I've been busting my ass for a large beer distributing company for the past year. When I took the job, I thought, what a great opportunity. Working for a well-established company, and I have respect for the quality products they distribute. Maybe there's an opportunity for advancement. Well, all I've discovered is that this company is effed. No matter how good of a job I do, there is no thanks. The so-called supervisors are non-existent. God forbid there should be a problem that arises during the workday that is out of your control because there will be no help available. And do they think any thanks is given for all the hard work I do, sometimes 16 hours a day? No. Just smart-ass remarks and questions on how you could have finished the job quicker. I'm only an employee number at this company. A number that should not have any opinion nor a personal life outside this job. I'm not going to continue to bust my ass, always working above and beyond the call of duty just to find no thanks at the end of a day. No time off. No raises. This company doesn't care that I haven't had a vacation in over 2 years. I'm grateful for the job, but I'm not going to continue to help maximize profits for a company that gives nothing back. Yes, I get a paycheck, but you should spread the wealth if your effing company is making money. I'm probably just going to be another number that simply passes through the constant revolving door of employees. The only people that seem to stick around are supervisors and managers. My problem is no different than any other working class hero out there, but somebody needs to speak up and tell these people to go F themselves. As of today, I'm taking step one to end my reliance on the life-sucking corporate monsters like the place I'm working for now. Thanks for letting me vent, Rick. I love the show. I'm representing the delivery drivers out there. You guys feel my pain. You know who you are, and you're as pissed off as I am. But let us not dwell on the negative too long. Let's have a group venting, if you will, Rick, and please help facilitate this. This is for my loyal delivery driver brethren. All together, shout it out. On three. One, two, three. F you, you life-sucking corporate scum bastards. And by the way, F Matt with a giant 40-ouncer of Old English.
This F Matt is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
And there's your edition of Office Confidential for Tuesday.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Good one.
Oh, that's terrific.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Fisher Communications.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 1:30, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Geico Insurance. One 15-minute phone call could save you 15% or even more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO, Geico Direct, the sensible alternative. It's happened again. A teenager is dead after imitating a stunt he and a friend saw in the movie Jackass. 15-year-old Stephen Paul Ruin was ejected from the top of a friend's car after he jumped onto the hood. When the driver hit the brakes, Ruin hit the pavement and then was run over and dragged a short distance. We had reports the individuals had done it before, say the police, but it's too early to tell whether or not criminal charges will be filed. Only last week, a 13-year-old Indiana boy died and five other teens were injured after the van they were traveling hurled off a railroad track at more than 70 miles an hour, crashing into a parked car and sliding 400 feet. The cops found a video camera and a cassette near the van, showing it had scenes from the movie in it. They were trying to imitate that, too. Who knows where the next incident will occur, all because of the movie Jackass. Showers this afternoon. Chance of a thunderstorm, maybe some small hail, but it's sunny all of a sudden. Highs in the mid to upper 40s, so this might be a lie. Same thing for tomorrow, and let's see, decreasing showers by Thursday. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Tom Likas.
I warn you, sir, an erection is a flagpole on your grave.
Afternoons at 3. Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. In just a moment here, we'll go to today's top five. It's Jolie from the front desk, top five musical artists of all time. Later on this hour, How Chicks Think. Coming up still later on in the show, we got the Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero, some Sarah haikus, and your friend of mine, Tom Likas, today at 3 o'clock, followed by the world-famous Bill Henry Show. Is this Big Gay, Sarah? I just, you know, I got a musical theme for her, and then like a retard, I forgot to load it. I suck. All right, so we'll have that the next time. So today you're themeless again. What's
again?
Up? I'm sorry, I blow. What's up with you?
I want to know how much money it'll take for you to kiss Richard.
Okay, there is not enough money
in the world.
I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to set up a collection and pay as long as I can videotape it.
I'm willing to do most anything for just a little bit of money, hence my job here. But there is not enough money in all the world for me to kiss Richard Nutt. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, but I'm a big lesbian, and I'd kiss him. So you can bend
a
little.
Well, then what do you need me to do it for? You can just step in and you can pinch kiss for me.
Well, you know, if I didn't think that would probably cause wife problems for him, I'd probably do it. But.
Oh, but come on. I think she'd probably allow it. I think there's probably some sort of clause there that if he, you know. It's not like you're going to steal him away or something. You just want to borrow him for a little bit. I think she'd be okay with that.
Well, and I want to know if I can have the laptop if I promise not to lap dance you.
That's the kind of non-lap dancing Papa likes. All right, there you go. Big guy, Sarah. All right, without further ado, is your top five for Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Can I just tell you this? I got the weirdest email. Sarah sent me this email, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I guess she and her lesbian posse, her and her little pink mafia, they get together and they made this new tradition where on Sunday mornings, they go have breakfast at some strip club whose name I wasn't familiar with. And she's like, you can come along if you want. And so I don't really know that I'd fit in there to be like that Sesame Street. One of these guys is doing his own thing. He's not the same. Which one of these things is different? So I kind of declined the invitation, but that's just a nice mental image to have. Just Sarah and a bunch of her friends sitting there eating steak, at like chicken fried steak, while watching some stripper shaker cans.
Let me get this straight. You got invited to go to the strip club by a group of lesbians and turned them down.
But they're... You know, they're not lipstick lesbians.
Just give us the man card back.
No, it has nothing to do with that. They're more manly revoked than I am.
Man privilege is revoked.
Nah, it's not the same.
Manly or non-manly.
It's not the same.
A group of a gaggle, nonetheless, of lesbians.
But it's just going to prove frustrating. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get laid out of it or anything.
So you go out to get laid?
No, I'm just saying. You know what it is? It's like guys who go to a lot of strip clubs. Like, you go to strip club now. Like, you know, we've all gone to strip clubs now and again on the show. But it's like those guys who go to strip clubs a lot. And at a certain point, you ought to just stay home, you know, and just flog the dolphin and burn a 20. You know what I mean? Just toss your wallet into the trash and just corral the tadpole yourself. Because otherwise, you're just going to come home broke and frustrated. And I think that's what that's going to... Plus, Sarah likes me and all, but I don't really know that her friends are going to be big fans of me. It's not like I'm... You know, it's like Lara's got all these women's studies majors who are as friends, and they're not big fans of me either for obvious reasons. So I don't know that I go over well there. All right, here's today's top five. Here's Jim Ryland.
And as we examine the musical tastes and inclinations of the Rick Emerson cast and crew, we arrive at Jolie from the front desk and host of How Chicks Think. So these are Jolie's top five musical acts of all time. And number five is Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, that's surprising. Why? I don't know. I guess I pictured you listening to a lot of, like... I don't know what the hell I pictured you listening to. I guess I pictured you listening to...
Alanis.
I loved it.
Totally. Never. Yeah, dumb
absolutely
chick music.
Not.
I pictured you listening to stupid chick rock.
Yeah, when I was 10.
Melissa Etheridge. Yeah, I totally saw
what?
That. I saw you listening to a lot of sort of light rock, sort of like Matchbox 20, a lot of Third Eye Blind.
I love this crap stuff.
No, Fleetwood Mac is great. I'm a huge Fleetwood Mac fan.
I didn't know that.
This is a great album. Well, Lindsey Buckingham wrote these really great pop songs, and Stevie Nicks is just talented and hot and just freaky. Stevie Nicks has sort of got that Tori Amos vibe of probably do ya and then might put a hex on you, but that's okay. Like, it would totally be worth it. Like, the sex would totally be worth her turning you into a toad or whatever she would do the next morning. Especially back in the 70s. You look inside the cover of that of the Rumors album, I think it is, and she's got that great low-cut, lacy, like that doily shirt on. There was, in her day, at her peak, there was nothing finer than Stevie Nicks. I mean, she was as hot as they came. I mean, at her prime.
Yeah, this is a good song, too.
Number four is Stevie Wonder.
See, I totally didn't see this coming either. You're an enigma.
You just don't know me. And you didn't want me to do my top five. I can't believe you.
Can we all agree that this is the single funkiest song ever recorded? Listen to that. You just want to move. I can't even move well. I move badly, but I gotta... It's like the music just takes a hold of you. You just gotta... The groove grabs you, and you gotta yield to it. We are one nation under a groove.
Did you know I was, like, 3 feet away from this guy?
Really? Did he know?
Probably not.
All right. Hey, let me just talk about Stevie Wonder for a second. Did you hear that interview he gave the other day where he said he's got six mistresses? This is not the punchline, by the way. He's got six mistresses. He bought them each a house. Each house has the same blueprint so he can find his way to the bedroom, like, immediately. He can go over, knock at the door. Yo, Darlene, it's Stevie. Walk right to the bedroom, and then he knows exactly how to get in there and get the lovin'. My question, though, is if you're blind, why do you need more than one chick to begin with? Do you know what I mean?
Their sense of feeling is a lot more powerful because they're blind.
Hey, good answer. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Way to go.
Do you ever try to, like, close your eyes and watch TV and just listen? It's really...
I'm sorry. I'm busy funking over here.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Hey, here's a great thing about this song. Here's a great thing about this song, and something you don't hear much on records anymore, is ambient sound, which you can only really hear with headphones. A lot of ambient noise, like when you hear the sound of the finger sliding on a guitar or something. There's actually a couple Beach Boys records where you can hear them talking off mic during a solo. Like, there's a solo, and Brian Wilson is like, so do you want to get a burger when we're done? But if you listen to the song, you can actually hear his chair moving, because he's in this... He has three keyboards, one kind of on either side, and then one behind him, and you can hear his chair squeaking as he sort of turns to play. It's just cool little stuff like that. This is great. Song. I saw the greatest Stevie Wonder moment ever, by the way, on Sesame Street. Stevie Wonder was playing this song on Sesame Street, and there was this little six-year-old kid. I don't know if he was white or what. I couldn't tell, because he's up on a railing. He has long, shaggy hair, and this little kid is up on a railing, like, headbanging, just losing his mind to this song. Stevie's just rocking, and this kid is up there like he's in an Iron Maiden concert, just slamming his head up and down to the song. Great stuff.
Number three, The Who.
I had no idea you were like a KGON listener.
I have this album.
Oh, everybody has this album. I don't really like The Who, but this is a great song.
Yeah,
I don't really dig The Who much, but man, this is a beautiful song.
How can you not?
I like Townsend. I don't like Roger Daltrey. Roger Daltrey bugs me. Listen to that when it kicks in, though.
Yeah, I love that.
I mean, that's just... doesn't get any better than that. It does not get any better than that.
Makes you feel good.
I've heard this song like 700,000 times, and this is still great. And some classic rock you get really tired of, like Night Moves or something. You know, or like Give Me Three Steps. You're just like, oh, please, no more. I never get tired of this song. And huge extra bonus props, by the way, to Pete Townsend for coining the phrase teenage wasteland.
Yeah. Good memory.
Oh, it's just huge. Great song.
Got me off guard there. Sure. Number two is Jimi Hendrix. Another scene.
But first, are you experienced?
I'm a big, scary black man from Mars.
Or have you ever been experienced?
You can't deny him, Rick.
No, I'm just saying he's not human. He's... Seriously, Jimi Hendrix is not... He's like from some freaky solar system in the great beyond. He's from the planet, you know, Genesius or whatever.
Can you imagine putting those little tabs underneath your headband? Like 50 of them?
But ruling your...
You might get to turn something out like this.
Are you trying to prove that you're made out of gold and can't be sold?
Yeah, there's really never been anybody who's... I mean, there's all these people who sort of stole his... They sort of stole his deal. You know, like Stevie Ray Vaughan and all those guys. But nobody really sounded like Jimi Hendrix. It was really just him that sounded this way. And he's basically just playing these blues songs, but he's playing like they're from... It's like these blues songs from hell or something. Blues songs from some bizarro dimension.
See, was possessed.
See, that's just weird. Like, why? How would you ever figure out to make your guitar sound this way? Because Jimmy, the thing about Jimi Hendrix is it's like the Beatles when they did A Day in the Life. They didn't have the Beatles to steal from. Hendrix didn't have Hendrix to inspire him. It's like, how would you even think of this? And the answer is, you are from Mars. I mean, that's just the answer. It's got to be.
You mix cocaine and heroin and acid.
Please. By that rationale, Hunter Thompson would be a great guitar player.
Number one, the Grateful Dead.
All right. There had to be a clinker on here somewhere. I knew there had to be a flaw.
Oh, it's no flaw.
Hey, wait, hold on. They're actually playing an actual song right here. This is interesting. What is this? I've never heard the Grateful Dead actually singing a real song. Wait, there's a melody there. This isn't the Grateful Dead.
Oh, Rick. You've never been.
Oh, wait, no, no, no. Here's the pointless jamming.
No, it's not pointless.
Here's the musical masturbatory indulgence.
The list was so good right up until it got to the cliff and fell off.
Oh, come on. No, tell me, have you ever been to a show or not?
What do you think?
I think no.
Yeah.
You
gotta see him live, dude.
Because you know how Disneyland says they're the happiest place on earth? They're not. And it's too bad Jerry died, Rick, before you could go.
It's too badly the rest of them didn't before he could.
I would rather take out my own eyes with a welding torch than sit around and listen to the Grateful Dead.
You just have to be in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, read easily amused and or high. Well, I don't understand how can you simultaneously like Fleetwood Mac, which are these great compact pop songs, and then you like this dreck.
I don't call it that, but you know what? Don't you ever have moods? You know, well, you're not a woman, so you probably don't, but...
I have one mood.
You have different moods for, like, sometimes you want to hear that kind of music, and sometimes you want to hear mellow music,
But that requires that it be music, which this, of course, is not. You know what this is? This, like most jazz, is seven guys on stage, each playing a different song simultaneously.
If this were my studio, I'd throw you out.
They don't even know where they are. They don't even know they're on stage. They have no idea where they are. Maybe it's Anaheim, maybe it's Annapolis. They have no idea where they are. All right. We'll be back with another edition of How Chicks Think. I gotta go scrape out my brain. We'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
To join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
1-800-727-5955. Hey, how many Grateful Dead fans did take the change of light bulb?
How many?
None, because they wouldn't change one.
No, you don't change your light bulb. You just follow it around for 25 years while it slowly burns out. All right. Gabe in Portland, what's up with you?
Oh, gotta concur, man. Not just the Dead, but any band like Zen Tricksters, any hippie band that just goes on and on and on and
yep.
on.
Yep.
I mean, when they're playing and I'm watching, you know, because I'm like working shows sometimes, and God, it's just like, good. Maybe the song's good. It makes it sound like the song's about ready to be over.
Your song's got to have an end.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not, because the riff will go like this. It'll go dun, 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 dun. Oh my God! 20 minutes.
I'm completely with you on this
game.
Don't
be so uptight.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think. I would rather listen to this. I would rather listen to this over and over on repeat than listen to the Grateful Dead. That's how much I dislike them.
I'd kill myself.
All right. Question for Jolie. Rick, I have two questions for Jolie at the front desk. I broke up with my last girlfriend about 7 months ago. I just met a wonderful lady about a month... there's already trouble here. He's calling her a lady. It's not that, you know... anyway. About a month ago. So, broke up with a girlfriend 7 months ago. Met a wonderful lady about a month ago. Do you think it's too soon for me to start dating again? Jesus God. Also, the last time we had sex was the first time. And right in the middle, she wanted to stop. Why is that? We were both having a great time, and I don't understand why she stopped halfway through. Can the front desk lady help me, please? Thank you, a loyal listener. Oh, this is beyond help here.
Wow, all right. Loyal listener. She probably looked under the sheets and saw your winky was too dinky.
Oh, why would you say that? Now he's going to kill himself.
That's great.
It wasn't that. No, because you wouldn't need to wait till halfway through to figure that out, I would think.
Yeah, you're right. I was just joking.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's almost. It's amazing that men, you know, have problems with women, huh? Because your penis is too minuscule.
There's stuff to help that now, you know?
Just.
Well, okay, so I really think it's not too soon to date. I think 7 months is plenty of time. I also commend a loyal listener on 7 months of between times, because a lot of people, you know, like to just go from one to the next to the next to the next.
Well, exactly. That's the whole point.
7 months, my ass, man. That's 7 hours.
You have the second one lined up before you even get rid of the first one. You know what I mean?
This is healthy what he's doing because he's...
You know what I mean? It's like lighting one cigarette off another one. You just got to have the second one lined up before you even throw the first one away.
Jeez, you dumb.
Nah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You man. So what he's done is pretty healthy. He can assess himself. I can't even talk today. Assess where he is in life and what he wants in a relationship. So this next time now, he's in, you know, his relationship, if that's what it is, with this girl, for this lady, for 1 month, and he's already...
Okay, but she stopped having sex with him halfway through.
I'm a woman. Let me get to the point.
Okay,
just wait.
I'm moving along here, honey.
Come on.
Okay.
Okay, so she, you know, women think about consequences, you know, like she may have been in the middle of it and she's like, will he be a good husband?
Oh, God.
Will he be a good father? Does he even want to have kids? And then she may have felt that you weren't ready for a relationship and that you weren't going to call her back. Or, you know, a lot of times, actually, women just, you know, remember or... Oh, look at you. You're just totally getting me all flustered.
What? I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. What, are you having a flashback?
Yeah.
Incoming!